We begin the current daf Maseches Brachos, daf Lamed Aleph. We begin 14 lines in from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which discussed the different preparations that a person should take before he actually goes to daven, in the right frame of mind, in the right dress of code, and the other different halachas. And the Gemara quotes a braisa related to this. Tanya Rabban, in Aimnim lehispalel lo mitoyer din, a person should not stand to daven, not from coming directly from a lawsuit, from a judgment, but let me tell you, dvar halacha, not from a matter of law, not from something that's intricate and something that his mind is still wrapped around that. Rather, it should be coming from a clear-cut halacha, and that is something that does not require too much insight, and that he shouldn't be thinking about it during his tefillah. His mind should be clear and focused just on the tefillah that he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara asks, "V'heichidam halacha psuka? What would be considered a clear-cut halacha that there's no major analysis that would go into that, and that person would be thinking maybe it's like this, maybe like that? Rather, it's clear-cut." So the Gemara gives a few different examples. Amar Abaya, Gihadir Abzer, as the halacha of Abzer, the Amar Abzer, the Abzer said, "Benois Yisrael hechmira alatzman," that the daughters of Yisrael, meaning the women, they were stringent on themselves, and this is related to Taharas Hamashpacha to halachas of Nida. Shafila royes tipes dam kechargel yeshevus ale shivanikim, that even if she saw a drop of blood, the size of a mustard seed, which is very small, she would wait 7 clean days for that. And that is that's not including the day that she actually did a hefsek tire, which is that she would be totally clean. In other words, besides the day that she saw that she stopped seeing blood, from the following day she would count 7 pure days. And that is that the Torah only mandated the halacha of zayin nikim, having 7 clear days without any blood, only for what's known as a zava. As it says in the pasuk, v'mtahara mizayva, when she becomes pure from her ziva. And ziva is only someone, a woman, that sees 3 consecutive days within the 11 days between the periods of nida. And here, if a woman just sees 1 drop, it would not require shev nikim. However, the b'nai yisoa machmer themselves because of the confusion of the different calculations. Therefore, even if it's just a drop of mustard seed, they would already make the halachas of ziva. Even on a regular woman, that would possibly be just a nida, they would wait the halachas of shev nikim. And that's a clear-cut halacha. The Gemara then gives another example. Rava amar ki hadar Rav Hoshea. As halacha of Rav Hoshea, Dam Rav Hoshea, Rav Hoshea says, we learned in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Tes, Ma'arim odim al tvo asa, a person can be crafty with his grain, and he can find ways around the different halachas related to the tvo. And that is machnisa b'meitchel. He could bring it into his house with its chaff still on it, and that is before it's winnowed. An individual is not chayiv in meiser min ha'tayra to take off a tenth of his produce, only when it sees the pnei habayis. It sees the, in other words, it goes into the doorway of his house. And from when it was already the smoothing of the pile, which is after the winnowing. But before the smoothing of the pile, then the coming into the house is not established as being mechuyev in the halachas of Trumas and Meister. As it says by the Pesukim of Trumas and Meister, it's called Dagon, Reishis Dagon Cha, and it's only called Dagon after it has the meruach, the smoothing of the pile. And therefore, when someone brings it into his house before the smoothing, it's not established yet for the chiyuv of Meiser minatayra according to the biblical law. However, the Rabbanan, they made it forbidden to eat an achilas kava, an established eating like a regular meal, in something, even if it was not nigma malacht, even if it wasn't totally finished. However, an achilas araya, temporary eating, they never were gezer on that. They never said that that's forbidden. And therefore, a person's when his animal eats from that, that's considered an achilas araya, as it says in the Mishnah Masechtas Peah, that if a person can feed to his behemah, his chaya, and his oif, to his animals, before that it's smoothed, and therefore his behemah could eat from it, and it's potter, but he is forbidden to eat from it, and achilas kava, eating a meal. So that is, that's what it says over there, that the person can be crafty with his grain, and he could bring it into his house, but still, before it's smoothed out, kadesh te behemto echeles, upetur min ha-maiser, so that his animal could continue eating it from it forever, and he'll be potter from meiser, because again, it was never chal. It never started because it still has its chaff on. So that's something that a person can do, and that's a straightforward halacha. Viboy sayma ki hadar Rav Huna. Others say a straightforward, clear-cut halacha psuk would be as this statement of Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna om Rav Ze'era, hamakiz dam behemiz kachem. If someone lets blood, it just draws blood from the blood of an animal that's sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash. Oster bahano u moyelim boy. So the blood is forbidden for hano. And there would be a din of me'ila there would be the transgression, the prohibition of having hana from it. And if one were to, he would have to bring a carbon me'ila. And that is, although that we learn that there's no me'ila by blood, and we learn that from Psukim in the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, and similarly in Shechitas Chulin, that's only when it was slaughtered in the Azor, where there you could say, as the Pasuk Gimel Yikra Yitzayin says, Nisatav lechem al mezbech lecha, but that I gave it for you on the mezbech to atone for you. And that is, as the Gemara Dashans over there, lechaper nisatav lecha v'lo yilu me'ila, that I gave it to you for forgiveness and not for, so to speak, transgressing the me'ila. However, here we're talking about by the blood of Hakaza, of letting blood, that there is me'ila, which means to say that if you have hana, you have to bring a carbon me'ila. And these, all the different examples the Gemara gave are halachas psukas, that there's no kashas and terutzim on them, that a person would have to think about them, rather they're clear cut, and those are halacha psukas, and therefore, that's what a person should learn before he daven, so that he's not engrossed in his learning as he's a mila davening. So now the Gemara brings that different customs in the Rabbanon, that Rabbanon avdi kamasnit, the rabbinical scholars, they did, like it says in our Mishnah, that they would daven mitich kebir reish, from a certain heaviness, a certain humility. And Taisus says that is the halacha, and therefore a person is not allowed to daven from kalas roish and tzchik, from laughter and from a good joke, and then go ahead and then daven his shmoneh esrei. Rather, it has to be with a certain heaviness and a simcha shel mitzvah, a rejoicing in the mitzvah. For example, if someone was learning the words of Torah, and that's why Taisus says that our minhag is to daven what's known as pesukei dezimra and ashrei before mincha, before the shmoneh esrei. That is again to be able to put one in the right frame of mind before one that goes ahead and davens in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting, Taisus brings from the Yerushalmi in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah that whoever's Isik and Tzerchi Tzibur, that has the same halacha like his Isik B'divrei Torah, and that would be the same, so to speak, coming in mitech kevel reish, the simcha shel mitzvah, if he was involved in the Isik of Tzerchi Tzibur in communal matters. However, that's what the Rabbanan did. The Gemara said, Rav Ashi Ovid Kibraisa, Rav Ashi did like the Braisa, that he would do it from halacha b'suka, that he wouldn't just go ahead and daven even with heaviness of head. He would first have halacha b'suka that, so to speak, would end, terminate, because there's no analysis and thing about it, and then he would go daven, so he would be davening with a clear mind. And the Gemara continues with this idea about hachanis and preparations for tefillah. Tanya Rabban. We learned in the Braisa as follows. In imdim lehispal, lehmetuch atzis, a person does not stand up to daven, not through sorrow, v'lemitoch atzlus, and not from laziness, v'lemitoch skoik, and not from laughter, v'lemitoch sicha, not from chatter, in other words, litzanis and jokes, v'lemitoch kalas roish, not from lightheadedness. That would be the converse, the opposite of kavod roish, that's through a certain, breitkeit, a person is in a broad frame of mind without the humility that he has in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lemitech dvar metelem, and not through idle chatter. V'lemitech simcha shal mitzvah should be from the rejoicing of a mitzvah. And that's through different words of Torah, and that's the same element of being semech geulas mitzrayim to the tefillah, or tehillah d'david, which is our custom to say ashrei before mincha, which these are all shvach and tenchumin, as the pasuk of Ritzon Rev Yaseh, that Hashem does the wills of those who fear Him, and that Shem Hashem is kol oyavav, and Hashem watches all those that love Him, and all these different psukim that are prepared, let's say, by Tfilas Ma'ariv, where we say ki lo yitosh Hashem es amoy, that Hashem will not forsake His nation. All these types of psukim, they're a simcha shamitzah, where we have gratitude and we have joy that we are slaves and we have servants and we are avodim takadosh baruch hu, and it's with that in context that a person stands to daven shemayin esek. Similarly, the Gemara says a quotation of different frames of mind when he does something else, which is lo yifto adam mechaveroi. A person should not take leave of his friend. Similarly, lo yimetoch sicha, not from chatter, but lo yimetoch skoik, not from laughter, but lo yimetoch kalas roish, not from a lightheadedness, but lo yimetoch dvar metelem, not from idle chatter. It's something. It's a certain appreciation when we leave a friend that has a certain similarity to when the person stands in front of tefillah. It should be from a dvar halacha that a person should say over to his friend that is how he should remember him. Interesting, the gross girs is the same as it was regarding davening. That should be from a simcha shal mitzvah. That should be the element that a person should have when he takes leave of his friend. However, it says, because that's what we find by the early prophets, because we find that they finished their words at the end of the Svarim that they wrote with the words of praise and consolation. And that's the same idea. When the person leaves his friend, it should be with a divah halacha, a simcha shal mitzvah. That's a proper conclusion to a relationship, and similarly to when a person stands up to daven for Hashem. And the Gemara continues, V'chintonim that a person should not take leave of his friend only through a divah halacha, a clear-cut halacha. Through that, he will remember him. So he adds on that element that a person will remember his friend when he gives him a divah halacha. The Gemara means a story related to this halacha of taking leave, that kihod Rav Kahana, as we find Rav Kahana, that alvayel Rav Shimon bar Ashi mipum Nahara ad Beit Nisa de Bavel, that Rav Kahana escorted Rav Shimon bar Ashi from Pum Nahara until Beit Nisa, which was in Bavel. So kimatul ahasam amale, so when they reached over there, so Rav Kahana told to him, Mar, vaday de Amri Inshi, that is it really true what people say, that Hani Tznisa de Bavel isnehu ma'adim arishin vathashta, that these palm trees that are in Bavel, in Babylon, that they were from the times of Adam Rishon until now. So Amalei, say, told him, at Kartan Milsad Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina, you remind me of something that Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina had said. And that is that this that people say that these trees are here from the days of Adam Rishon doesn't mean they actually were around then. Rather, that Adam Rishon decreed on this place that it should be a settlement, that it should grow over here, these palm trees. As the Gemara says, Dam Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina, Maidach said, what is this that it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, in the land that a man has never passed, and that a man has never settled there. To which the Gemara asks, if no one ever passed through it, so how could a person have ever settled there? Which is, it's obviously you have to first pass by to first settle. Ella loy malacha is coming to tell you the following lesson: that kol eretz shegazer la adam rishon liyishuv nisyashva, that any land where Adam Rishon had decreed that it should be settled, it was settled. In any land, for example, a desert, that Adam Rishon did not decree in it that it should be settled, it wasn't settled. That's what it means when it says in the pasuk, Adam Sham, that Adam was not miyashiv it; he did not make it into a settled place because of his decree. And that's the same idea that these trees were in Bavel from the times of Adam Rishon, because Adam Rishon, so to speak, decreed that that's how it should be. The Gemara brings a different incident, that Rav Mordechai alviel Rav Shimon bar Ashi Magrunya vad Beit Kippi. Rav Mordechai escorted Rav Shimon bar Ashi from Magrunya until Beit Kippi, v'amri lad Beit Dori, and some say until Beit Dori. So the Meiri says that what is this relationship to what we're discussing? Come to tell you that he didn't have to tell him a dvar halacha, it was enough that he was malavim, that he escorted him, and it wasn't necessary to tell him a dvar halacha. So the Gemara continues on different hanagas, different customs that people had regarding that it's necessary for the halachas of tefillah. So Tana Aban, whoever davens has to focus his heart to Shemayim, to heaven. He has to have the proper frame of mind. Abishol Oimer is similar. Abishol gives a so to speak, a sign for this, that it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Tochen Libam, that they direct their heart, Takshav Aznecha, then your heart attends. In other words, if they prepare their heart, then Hashem listens. And that's this idea that a person has to be prepared. The Gemara continues on this and says, Tanya, we learned the Braisa. This was Rabbi Kiva's minig. It was his custom that when he was davening with the congregation, so he would make his tefillah shorter and he would finish. So because of the burden of the tzibah, the congregation that would wait for him, he would daven quickly. But when he would daven by himself, a person would leave him to go daven in one corner and we'd find him in another corner. Why was that so much? How did he end up on the other side of the room? That's because of the different bowings and the prostrations that he would make during the davening. And that is, although a person is not supposed to do too many bowings and prostrations, that's only at the end of the bracha, but in the middle, he's allowed to. And therefore, he would end up through the humility that he had, he would end up from one end of the room to the end of the room, and that was, he would have a longer Shemayin Asrit. Now the Gemara focuses on the proper place and the proper timing that a person should have when he daven Shemayin Asrit. Amar b'chi bar Abba, lo'il mispal odem b'bayis sheyesh b'chalin. A person should always daven in a house or a shul that has windows. Shadim, as it says in the passage in Daniel, v'chaven p'sichon le'begomer, that he had windows that were open to him, and that's where Daniel was davening. And we find that you see that he should have windows that are there that he could, so to speak, see through during his tefillah. So the Gemara continues that Yachal yispal odim kol yom kula. You would think that a person should daven an entire day. And that's what the Gemara is going to bring many different halachas from the tefillos of Daniel that we find in the Pesukim over there. So a person would think that a person should daven the whole entire day. As you find Rabbi Yochanan said somewhere, halavai yispal odim kol yom kula. A person should daven the whole entire day. You would think that actually that's what he should do. So kvar meforesh al-yedei Daniel, it's already explicit there through Daniel that it says in the pasuk v'zimnan talos of a gemara that three times a day a person should daven that shachris mincha amayru. So yochel mishabala goyilo hochla. You would think that maybe for when he came into the diaspora into Gullahs, that's when he started to have this tefillah. But before that, he wasn't ragel because he didn't daven three times a day. So kvar nemar, it already says in the pasuk. They have a ovid min kadamas denot, that this is he did as he used to do before this. In other words, as he did in Eretz Yisrael before he went down to Golis, he had the same custom of davening three times a day. Shachas mechamayr. So yochel yispal odim l'chol yiruach shayir. So you would think a person could daven and face any which direction that he wants to, because Hashem is everywhere. Tamaloyim neged Yerushalayim, that he would face towards Yerushalayim. So yochel yehi koylim bevasachas. You would think that he'd be able to put all these three tefillahs into one time in one moment. In other words, daven shachas mincha mayav at the same time. So kvar mefurash l'yedei David, it's already explicit through David HaMelech that the chesed, as it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, erev v'voyke b'tzarayim b'gomer, that a person should daven the evening and the morning and the afternoon, and those are the proper timings of the three tefillahs. Yochel yashmiya koyli b'tefillah, so you would think that his voice could be heard during his tefillah as he's davening. In other words, he could daven out loud. Kvar mefurash l'yedei Chana, it's already explicit through Chana, Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, v'koila lo yishma, that her voice was not heard, and that's where the idea of tefillah b'lachash comes from, that it should not be heard, it should be said in a whisper. So yochel yishol odim tzrocha v'achar kachisbal, you would think that a person could first request his needs from Hashem, and that's, for example, like the brachas of atachainin, until shemea tefillah, and then afterwards he could daven the three brachas rishainis, which are the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of saying about the Avos, how he remembers our forefathers and his great might of Gevuris, and then of how holy he is about the Kaddish. Kvar meforshay de Shlomo, but it's already explicit through Shlomo. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, L'shmoya al Rina v'al Tefillah, that he should hear the song and the Tefillah, which is Rina zu Tefillah. Rina is the prayer of the Shvach, of the praise of the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. And then comes El Tefillah, Tefillah zu Bakasha, that's our request that we have when we request from Hashem all the things that we need. And that's the proper order that it's supposed to be. So now the Brisa continues and says that in Imad Davar Acher Emes V'Yatzer, a person is not allowed to say anything after Emes V'Yatzer. In other words, before the three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, a person is not allowed to interrupt after Emes V'Yatzer. In other words, when he finishes Gaal Yisrael, he can't say anything before he starts Shemoneh Esrei. Aval Acher Tefillah Filik Say David Shem Kippur Maimer. But after he finishes Shemoneh Esrei, when he finishes Hamavarches Hamisabas Shalim, and he says Yiluratzain or not, depending on the minig, then he could even say as long as the Vido of Yom Kippur, he could say. As the Gemara says, Idmanami, Amr of Chia Barashim Rav, Afapisha Amru Shoyal Adam Tzrach of Bishmeh Tefillah. Even though we said that a person is allowed to request his needs in the bracha of Shmeh Tefillah, which is a very generalistic bracha that Hashem hears all our tefillahs, and you could insert your other tefillahs. However, that should be only short. However, in Bolay Ma'achat Tefillah, but if he's coming to say Bakashas after he finished my Nesrei, I feel like Kesedus Shem Kippur Ma'ame, even as long as the order of Yom Kippur, you could say, as is our custom, that we say the video of Yom Kippur at over there by Likai Netzar before we finish my Nesrei. So now the Gemara goes back. We mentioned the Tefillah of Chana, what she had been davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she should be able to have a child, and then she ended up having Shmuel. So it says that Amr Rav Hamnuna, kama hilchas gevirta ikala mashmi mahani koray dechana. Rav Hamnuna said, how many important halachas of tefillah we could learn, and other halachas we could learn from those psukim by the parshas of Chana when she was davening, as he quotes the psukim. V'chana hima dabres at libet, says that Chana was davening in her heart. So from there we learn, mekan l'mispal tzorch shecham libet. From here we see that a person that's praying should focus his heart. It has to be in the heart. And then it says, raks v'seh anois, only her lips will move. From here we see that a person has to pronounce his tefillah with his lips, that it says her lips were actually moving. But it says, but her voice was not heard. So from here we see that it's forbidden for a person to elevate his voice when he's davening. It has to be balachash, has to be in a whisper. It says, Eli HaKoyin, who was there by the Beis HaMikdash where Chana was davening, he thought that she was intoxicated because she was whispering and she looked in that state that she looked like she was drunk.
So what do we see from there? Mikansha shikar osalis bal. From the fact that he was suspecting her that she was intoxicated, from there we see that it's forbidden for someone that's intoxicated to actually daven. So then it says, V'yomer la Eli admose tishtakrin magoymer. Then Eli said to her, until how long are you going to be intoxicated and it's disgraced that you're davening when you're drunk? It's forbidden. So Amr Balaza. So Rav Elaza says, Mikan l'roi b'chaver. From here we see that someone that sees something by his friend, and we continue on to Amud Beis, Davar Shein Hagin, something that's improper, Tzarch Lechichid, that he has to rebuke him. That he said, and he told her, how can you do this, that it's improper, that you're intoxicated and you're davening. So Taisa says, interesting, that this obviously is referring to even when there's no Issa D'Oraisa, there's no biblical prohibition. Because it would be Issa D'Oraisa, it's Pasha, that's a Pasuk Mefurish, that says, Echeich Techeich, it says that you should give rebuke, as the Pasuk in Meikur Yotes says. Rather, here it's even something that's not Issa D'Oraisa. Possibly even Drabbanan, still we find that you would have to give rebuke to someone that's doing something that's improper. So then the Pasuk says, V'tan Chana, V'tomer lo yadoini, that Chana answered, she responded, and she said, no, my master. So Ama Ula V'itemer Rabbi Yisrael B'chanina, that what did she mean when she responded? Amr Le, she said to him, Loi Odoin Ate B'davazeh, V'loi Rucha Kodesh Shor Alecha. You're obviously not a master in this idea, and you don't have the divine spirit that's resting on you. That's what it means that she answered, Loi Odoini, that you're not a master in this. That is, Shato Chishtani B'davazeh, that you are suspecting me in this thing, and you're wrong, because I'm not drunk. I'm just bitter, and I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear my prayers. So Ikadar Mihochi Amrli, that those that say that this is what she told them. Loi Odinata, are you not a master? Lav Ikashchina Varuach HaKadosh Gabach, isn't the divine presence and the divine spirit on you? Shadanti Lakav Chayva V'loi Denanti Lakav Schust, that you judge me to the side of that obligation, that I was wrong, and you didn't judge me to the merit in my favor? Milo Yadata, don't you know, as the Pasuk says, the Ishik Shas Ruach Anoichi, that I'm a woman that's from aggravated spirit? That's not because I'm drunk. I'm just so torn and so grieved by the fact that I don't have a child. So the Pasuk says, V'yayin v'sheich alesha sisi. So she told him that wine and strong drink I did not drink. So Amir Belazer, Mikan l'nechshad b'dav v'sheim b'y. From here we see that the fact that she responded to him and she told him what the facts actually were, that someone that's suspected by someone else about something that's not really true, should tzarech l'idea that you have to inform him, and you have to inform the one that's suspecting you, that you have to clear your name, so to speak, and show that it's not really true, this disgraceful thing that they think about you, that it's not true. So she told him, Al titenes amoscha lefnei bas blial. Don't place your maidservant as a base woman. In other words, don't suspect me that I've done something really wrong, that you're suspecting that I'm drunk and davening at the same time. So Amir Balaza Mikan, from here we learn, L'shikr shemispal kilo avodizar, that someone that's intoxicated, that davens, it's as if he served avodizar. And how do we see that? Because k'siv hacha lefnei bas blial. She was telling him that you're suspecting me as someone that's a bas blial, like a base woman, using the word blial without the yoke. Uksiv Hasman says over there in the Pasuk in Devarim, Yatsu Anoshim B'nei Blial Mikabecha, that the men, the lawless men, emerged from amongst you, which is a reference to those that are doing Avodah Zarah, Malahal Avodah Zarah, Afkam Avodah Zarah, just like over there, it was a reference to Avodah Zarah. Here also, it's as if there's Avodah Zarah, so someone that davens when he's intoxicated, it's almost as if he was serving an idol worshipping. So then the Pasuk says, V'yan Eli v'yem l'chil l'sham. So Eli realized his error, and he responded to her, and he says, go in peace. So Amir Belazer, Mikan l'cheshed es chaveri b'dav v'sheim b'y. From here we learn that someone that suspects his friend by something that's not really true, should tzorech l'fay, that you have to placate him, you have to go ahead and try to appease them and ask their forgiveness. V'loy oydel should tzorech l'varche. Not only that, but you have to bless them. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, he continued and he said, V'lekei Yisrael yitin eshalesech, that Hashem, the God of Israel, should give you your request. And that was his bracha to her. And that's because he was cheshed, he was cheshed to her, although she was correct, for something that wasn't true. So the Gemara continues on this tefillah of Chana and explains what actually was her tefillah. It says that v'tidoy neder, that she made an oath, a vow, but toimah Hashem Tzavakos, she said, Hashem Tzavakos, which is one of Hashem's names. So Amr Balaza, miyem shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esalomoy, lohoye odem shakar laKadosh Baruch Hu Tzavakos. The Rebbe Lezer says, from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created his world, there was no one that ever called him with the title of Tzavakos, which literally means master of the legions. In other words, from all the legions of the worlds that what Hashem made, it's endless. She called him Tzavakos. And what exactly was she said as follows? Why was she the one that introduced this element of Tzavakos, of all the legions that Hashem created in the world? From all the legions that there are in the world that you created. Is it difficult? Is it hard in your eyes to give me one son? Look at all the masses, in the constellations, in the cosmos that you made. You can't give me one son. So the Gemara says, "Moshel ma'adavadema." What can this be compared to? To the following analogy: Lamelech b'asavadam sha'asasud la'avadav, to a flesh and blood king that made a meal, a festive meal for his servants. Bo oni echad va'amar al pesach. So one pauper came and he stood by the entryway. Amalhem tnuli prusa achas b'lahishkichulav. He said, "Give me one piece of bread," and no one looked at him, because he wasn't one of the servants. He pushed his way in, he went to the king. He says, "My master, the king, from this whole festive meal that you made, is it so difficult for you to give me just one piece of bread?" And this is what Chana was telling him, from all the legions, from the billions and billions of things out there in the world, is it difficult for you to give me just one son? And that's why she introduced this appellation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Tzavakos. So the pasuk says that she said imro'oi sira, that if you see, that you should take note. So what's this redundancy of ro'oi sira, that you see, you should see? So Amr Balaza, Amr Chan lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chana said the following statement in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, imro'oi mutav, if you see and you see my plight, so be it, let it be good, and you'll give me a child. Ve'im lav, teira, and if not, then you will see. What does that mean? She was making a type of an ultimatum. She said, "Elich ve'estater b'fnei Elkanah b'ali." I will go and I will seclude myself in front of my husband Elkanah, and that is, I will go ahead and be miyachad. I will seclude myself with other men, and my husband will suspect me for something improper. V'kivin de'estatatra mashkeli me'soid. And once I'm going to seclude myself again, so there he's already said, "I forbid you from secluding," and that's the halacha of the waters of the site, that they're going to give me to drink to inspect and see if I was actually practice fidelity or not. V'iyato isa teres chaplasta, and you're not going to belie your Torah, you're not going to make your Torah into a lie. And that is shenema, because it says in the pasuk, v'niksa, and then if the woman is innocent, v'nizra zera, and she will bear seed. And that is, since I will be innocent, because I will not practice infidelity, therefore, once I get the waters of the site, it's going to make inside me the bracha of that I will eventually have children. So either you see, or I'll make you see, that I'll, so to speak, metaphorically, tie your hands behind your back and make you give me a child. So the Gemara says as follows. This is all very well according to the one that says that if the Saita woman, who was a barren woman, that she becomes Nifka, that she gets a child, that's very good. That was what Chana was, so to speak, attempting to do, that she said that she'll do it that way, that although she was not Kara, she'll have a child through this procedure. But according to the one that says that it's only if she was going to give birth with pain that she was going to give birth without pain, or in the cave, or if she was going to have birth with a female, then she could give birth to males, or if she's going to have darker children, she'll have whiter children. If she's going to have short children, she'll have tall children. So then, what could you say? That there, that time, that mandam never said that you could have, so to speak, if you weren't going to have children, that the Maysite will make you have children. It's only going to have children that will have, so to speak, higher quality or better, or higher end, or different types. But not that it would make one to have children. As the Gemara brings the Tanya, it's learned in the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, V'niksa, that she'll be innocent, V'nizra zera, and then she'll bear seed. So Malamichim Hoysakar and Nifkedis to Rebbe Shmuel. Shmuel says that it means that if she was a barren woman, that now she'll be remembered and that she'll have a child, in spite of the fact that she never had one till now. So Amale Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva told Rebbe Shmuel, Imkain, if that's the case, Yelchul Kol HaKar is Kul Nivistatru, all the barren women will go and they'll seclude themselves. Vezushle Kilkul Nifkedis, and this one that did not practice infidelity, shall be remembered. Rather, what it means is that if she was going to give birth in pain, she'll give birth with openness, it'll be easy. Kitzarim, yoledes aruchim, if she was going to have shorter children, now she'll have tall children. Shecharim, yoledes levanim, she's going to have darker, now she'll have whiter. Echad, yoledes shnayim, if she's going to have one child, now she'll have two children. So then the question is, according to that, Mayim Roi Sirah, so then what does it mean that if you will see or that all you'll take note? In other words, what does it mean, this redundancy? Because according to this Mandamra, it doesn't mean that she was going to force Hashem, so to speak, that she'll have a child, because Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold that a Nakara, that a barren woman that secludes herself, will have children. It's only once she's having that it'll be, so to speak, a higher end. So that's what, according to Rabbi Kiva, Dibbetari Koloshim in the Adam, the Torah spoke as is the common vernacular of people, that they say in a double type of a Lashon and the redundancy. However, it doesn't mean anything more than what it is, that she was asking Hashem to take note of her, to see her plight. So now the Gemara continues with her tefillah, and she said, you should see Be'oni Amascha, the suffering of your maidservant. Another pasuk says, V'leisishka chasamasecha, you should not forget your maidservant. And the third pasuk says, V'nesata la'amascha, that you should give to your maidservant. So the Gemara discusses why it says, she mentions three times Hashem, to Hashem, that I am your maidservant. So Amar Bereis Rav Chanina, Gimel Amasas Halalu Lama. What is the reference to these three mentions of Amasas of maidservants? So the element over here is that the word Amasecha has in the root word mess regarding death. So Amar Chanlof Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chana told in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the following. Rabbi Nishal Amash to the world. Shloisha Bidke Misa Barasa B'Isha. You created three inspectors of death. That you created for the woman, and that a woman is, so to speak, inspected with them at a time of danger, that if it's found that she's lacking one of these three, then she dies. Again, that's the word amasecha, that's from the word of mess. V'amrilan, some say that she said, shloisha divke misa, that you created three bonds of death. Ve'elohen, and these are the three mitzvahs that women are held responsible for. Nida, when the woman is menstruating, regarding those halachas of nida. V'chala, and the portion of chala that's taken off when she's baking bread, v'hadlokas ner, and the obligation to light the candle of Shabbos, and as the Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Lamed Aleph, that for these three averus women die. So therefore, she said to Hashem, klum avarti alachas, man, did I transgress even one of these three mitzvahs? That is, I kept nida, challah, and lighting the candle on Shabbos. And that's why she mentions amasecha three times, referring to the three different things that cause a woman to die. I'm not lacking in any of them. So where have I gone wrong? So the Gemara continues that she said to Hashem, "V'nesata la moscha zera noshim, that you should give to your maidservant male offspring." That's zera noshim. But it's an interesting terminology, zera noshim. The Gemara says, "My zera noshim, what does it mean? The seed of men." In other words, it could have just said zroyim or anoshim. What does it mean, zera anoshim? So the Gemara gives a few different explanations. Amarav, gavra begovern. First test the Gemara gives is that a men among men. That's zera anoshim. A man of men, then in other words, he should be a great person. V'shmul amar, second pshat, zera shemoyshech shnei anoshim. I should have seed, a child, that anoints two men. That's zera anoshim, a child that anoints two men. Uman inun shal v'david. That's because Shmuel ended up anointing Shaul and David HaMalach. Rabbi Yechon amar, third pshat, zera sheshokol k'shnei anoshim. A child that will be equal to two men. And that is, who are these two men? That's Moshe and Aaron. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Moshe and Aaron, b'chayan of them, Moshe and Aaron are his priests. Ushmuel b'kari Shmuel, and that Shmuel was from the who invokes his name, that we see that almost he's equal to Moshe and Aaron. That is Shmuel. Fourth pshat the Gemara gives, Zerabonin Amri, Zera Anoshim. What does it mean, a Zera of Anoshim? That it's Zera Shemuv leben Anoshim, that I should have a seed, a child that's absorbed amongst the men. And that is, as the Gemara brings, Ki Asra Abdimi Omar, Loi Aruch V'Loi Goitz. I don't want a child that's too tall or too short. V'Loi Kotten V'Loi Alab, not too thin or not too stocky. V'Loi Tzacher V'Loi Gicher, not too pallid and not too ruddy. In other words, he shouldn't be too white. V'Loi Chacham V'Loi Tipish, and not too brilliant and not too foolish. In other words, he shouldn't be a wonder in other people's eyes, and people should be speaking about him, and that the Ayin Hara could, so to speak, affect him. I want someone that is just somewhere in the middle of all the people. I don't want anyone that he should stick out. I want him to, so to speak, be part of Klal Yisrael, as it says, B'seich Amei Noichi Shavis. She wanted him to be amongst and absorbed in the people. So it's, the pasuk continues, when she came back to Eli, after she had Shmuel, and she came back to Eli with Shmuel, so it says, Ani ha'isha hanitzevis imcha bezes. She says, I am the woman that stood here with you. And that is, it's mashma from this terminology that she says, that he was also standing. It says that I stood here with you is mashma that that Eli also stood. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mikan Shasa Leishim B'Toch Arba Amishal Tefillah. From here we learn the halacha that it's forbidden to sit in the four amas of someone that's davening, and that's why Eli also had to stand because he was within her dalar amas, and since she was davening, he also had to stand. He couldn't be sitting down. And Tosfos says that this applies whether in front of the person or even on the person's sides. However, he brings from the Tshuvas HaGa'onim that it's necessarily if he's sitting and he's not doing anything else. But if he's in toiling in the parashas of Shema or in the Brichas Kriya Shema and things like that, that he's davening, he just didn't get the Shema Nesra yet, then even if he's sitting, it's also okay. He can continue sitting. It's only if he's not davening that then he would have to stand up if he's in someone else's Dalar Amas. So it says that she told to Eli, Elanar Hazeh Hispalati, that it was for this child that I davened. And that is, it's mashma that for this child and not for another one. And from here the Gemara is going to tell us that it would seem that Shmuel sinned to Eli, and Eli wanted to punish him, and that's what, and he wanted to be mispal that Hashem should give Chana another child because Shmuel was deserving of death. And that's what Chana was responding to him, that no, Elanar Hazeh spelled that I was davening just for this child, not for any other child. As the Gemara brings, Amar Blaza, Shmuel mor halacha lifnei rabbi hoyo. Shmuel was over, he was guilty of saying over a teaching of halacha in front of his rabbi, which is forbidden. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk over there, Vayishchetu es apar, that they slaughtered the bull, Vayiviu es hanar el Eli, and they brought the child, which is a reference to Shmuel, to Eli. So the Gemara asked, Mishum de Vayishchetu es apar, Hiviu hanar el Eli, because they slaughtered the bull, that's why they brought the child to Eli. What is the connection? Say, Elo Amal and Eli, rather it's as follows, that Eli told them, Karu Kayin, Leisi Vayishchet, call a Kayin that he should come and he should slaughter the bull. So Shmuel saw that they were all busy trying to find a kohen to shecht the bull. So Amalahu, he said to them, he says, why are you going after to find a kohen to slaughter the bull? Slaughtering is kosher with a non-kohen. So they brought Shmuel in front of Eli. So Eli asked Shmuel, where do you know this from? Amalei, does the pasuk say that the kohen slaughters? It says that the kohen will bring the carbon near, and that is, as it says in the first parak in Chagiga, that v'ekrivu is a reference to kabbalah sadam from the accepting of the blood, which is, as the Gemara says, mikabbalah ve'elech mitzvah kuna, that from receiving onward of the blood, that's a mitzvah with the kuhuna. Mikan l'shchita shekshir b'zar. From here, we see that the actual slaughtering, which is beforehand, is kosher with a zar, with a non-kohen. So Eli responded, Amalei, Meimir Shabakamrit. You're saying very well, and what you're saying is true. Miyu, Mayu Halacha Befnei Rabachat. However, you're guilty of rendering a halachic decision in front of your Rebbe. Duchalamayu Halacha Befnei Rabachat Misa. Whoever renders a halachic decision in the presence of his Rebbe is Chayiv Misa, he's guilty of death. So Asi Chana Bekutsav Chakame. So his Yiddish Mama, his mother, Chana, came and was crying and pleading in front of him. And she said, Ani ha'isha nitzev esimcha b'zeh v'goymer, that I am the woman that stood here with you, and that I'm the one that davened for this child. So Amalah, he said to her, Shavki li, leave me, de'an shei u'b'ina rachmei v'yov aloch rabbi b'nei, leave me that I will punish him, and I will daven to Hashem, and I'll give you a child that's greater than him. So Amalah, so she told him, no. Elanar hazeh hispalalti. I davened and I prayed for this child. This is the child that I want, not another child, even a greater child. So as we mentioned before, the pesukim that referred to the tefillas of Chana says v'chana hi medaberes alib. The Chana was speaking upon her heart. So the Gemara says, what does it mean upon her heart? Amar Rebbe Elazar b'Shem Yisrael ben Zimra al iske libo. It was in reference relating to her heart. And that is Amr Lefanav, she said in front of Hashem, Rebbein Nishlo, master of the world, Kol Masha Barasa B'Isha, whatever you created by a woman, Lo Barasa Dover Echel Avatol, you did not create one thing for naught. Everything has a purpose. Einayim Lirois, eyes are to see. Vaznayim Lishmai, ears are to hear. Choytim Lahariach, a nose is to smell. Peladaber, a mouth is to speak. Yedayim Las B'Malacha, hands are to do work. Reglayim Lahalchben, on legs are to be mobile, to go with them. And dadim lahanik behen, and breasts are to nurse with them. Dadim halalu shenasata ali bilama. But these breasts that you put on my heart, which is by her chest, what do you give me for? That's when it says aliba, she was davening on her heart, meaning the dadim which are on the heart. Why do you give it to me? Loy lahanik behen, not to nurse with them? Tenli ben v'anik behen. give me a child now and I'll nurse him with them. And that's what it says, that she was davening Aliba in reference to the area of her heart. So the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amori that we just mentioned. Whoever engages in the fast on Shabbos, they rip up a decree that was made for his negative even of for 70 years. And that is, even if it was decreed upon him from when he was a young child, and that is because since a tainus, a fast, is very difficult on Shabbos, because everybody is misangibay, everyone is rejoicing and delighting in Shabbos, and he's fasting, so it's all the more difficult, so that's how great it is that they'll even rip up a decree of his 70 years. So Taisus says, from the name of the Pirush HaRach, that's in reference to a tainus cholim, that or else a person should not just fast on Shabbos. It means that he had a bad dream on Friday night, and therefore on Shabbos day, he's going to fast. And it's so great that it'll be mechaper even on a gzeir of 70 years. However, the Gemara says, v'alfa pikein, chayzin v'nefron memenu din oinik Shabbos. However, he's going to get punished for this fasting because of the delight of Shabbos that he's not engaging in. But since there's a mitzvah of oinik Shabbos and he's not doing that because he's fasting, therefore he's going to get punished. So the Gemara says, Maita Kante, how can he rectify this? Because he is fasting and needs to because of a tainus cholim. How does he rectify the fact that he's not celebrating in the oinik Shabbos? He has to fast for his fasting. In other words, then the following day, he should make another fast for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. So the Gemara returns to this that we spoke about before, the Tefillah of Chana. Chana, so to speak, flung words towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu up above. Shneimad says in the Pasuk, V'tespal al Hashem, that she davened on Hashem, in other words, against Hashem. The Malamet Shetichet Dvarim Klabim Ma'alim, that it comes to teach that she flung words facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we mentioned before, that she said things like, that why did you give me these parts of my anatomy? In other words, she was, so to speak, coming against HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a strong claim. Similarly, the Gemara says, Ramer Belaza Eliyo Hitich Dvarim Klabim Ma'alim. Eliyo HaNavi, he flung words towards Hashem up above. Shenemet says in the Pasuk, he said to Hashem, that you turned their hearts backwards. It's your fault, so to speak, Hashem, that the Yidden did the Avera. As the Gemara says, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went back and he, so to speak, agreed to Elio, and at a later point in time to the later prophets, that he admitted that it really was, so to speak, Hashem's fault? Now we continue on to the top of Lamed Beis Menaf. It says in the Pasuk, V'asher hari oisi, that I am the one who I caused them to be evil. And that is the beginning of that Pasuk says, Oisva ha-tzoylo, that to gather the limp, V'hanidocha ha-kabtza, and those which were driven away I will gather, V'asher hari oisi, which means that I caused them to be evil because I created the Yetzahara. And that's what Eliyahu was saying to him. And he was being matiach to him, saying, Hashem, it's your fault, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu admitted and said, because I created the Yetzirah, that caused the Yidden, the Jews, to do that there.